This is Trevor Story, Colorado Rockies. You're listening to Faith on the Field show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show, presented by International Justice Mission. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy, and it is great to be with you again in L.A., Vegas, Orlando, Charlotte, Atlanta, and on our home station, 97.5, the Fanatic Philadelphia. Thank you for tuning in. You having a great week?
I'm having a fabulous week. It's been interesting, but good.
Yes, I'm excited to hear, because God gave you a word that you're going to share that is so powerful. I'm really excited to hear you talk about that. Our guest this week is former Cincinnati Bengals and Houston Texans defensive lineman Devin Still. I sat down with him and his wife, Asha, for my AP Pro Football podcast, so you're going to hear part of that interview coming up. He has a very powerful testimony, so be sure to stay tuned for that. And also, I want to mention this because International Justice Mission is our new partner, and I got to spend some time this week learning more about the incredible work that IJM does and how they help strengthen justice systems in many countries to help protect people from violence, because strengthening these justice systems to enforce the law is what deters criminals from committing these heinous acts, these heinous crimes. That there's 40 million people in the world who are being forced into trafficking and slavery. 10 million of those are children. And you can go to IJM.org and see all the ways you can help. As you and I were talking about this week's episode and what we wanted to do, you had this reflection, and I really want you to talk about it because it's really strong.
Yeah, so I love flowers. Yes. I love flowers, okay? And I love when you buy them for me. They're awesome. But I love when I plant them. And I love caring for my flowers. So,
by the way, happy Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Speaking of flowers, right? What a perfect
thing. I picked some up for you, and they just weren't the right flowers. I didn't love them. So you're getting a different set than the one I had picked up. But it's funny that you're thinking about flowers. Okay. I'm picking up flowers as I was traveling in and out stores today. But no, they're coming.
Okay, I mean, all right, I'm excited. But yeah, so every spring we literally go on like this wild chase of flowers and everywhere. Like we go to all these nurseries around us and all these farms. And
it's excruciating.
Yeah, it really is for you and the kids. For me, I'm in my happy place. I'm like, yay, flowers. This is amazing.
Wait, I got to tell this story real quick.
What?
This time as we go through one particular place, we usually shop in a couple areas. I didn't know they had so many different greenhouses.
Oh, yeah.
And as they told you about that, I was like, oh, man.
You were upset.
Now you have more options, which means now I have to be here even longer. So it was a difficult
trip. But the little old man saved you that day.
Yeah, that particular day.
He was like, don't buy flowers. Now they're going to die.
Yeah, it was early April. So we waited.
So we waited, and then we had to do this trip again, and we finally got my flowers, right? So I'm planting, and I got everything ready. And so I was pruning the other day, which I do a lot, and cleaning the flowers and watering everything. And I'm just sitting there because I get my little chair and sit next to the flowers, and don't call me crazy, but I like sing to my flowers. I like put worship music and like sing. Did you know you can actually talk to your flowers? They actually bloom more when you talk to your flowers.
Really?
Yeah. Don't call me crazy. This is scientifically proven.
It was going through my mind.
That's okay. That's fine.
Your thing. Do your thing. They look beautiful. Do whatever works. They're looking great.
Right. So this other day, I'm sitting there. It's so beautiful and breezy outside. And I'm just in my happy place with my worship music on. And I'm pruning my flowers. And I remember the day where I used to call myself, I have a black thumb. Right? Because like I could never for the life of me keep a plant alive. Like I love plants, but I can never keep them alive. So I used to think that people must buy stuff from somewhere else, like this magical fairy tale, right? Like, you know, like fairy plays that people buy their flowers and they just plop them there and magically they stay amazing, right? And I'm like this weirdo that buys flowers and they die the next day.
They go to this awesome nursery somewhere.
Yeah, like in my mind, there's like this magical place.
They automatically stay alive.
Right. I mean, if they buy plastic flowers, maybe, but.
They do look good.
Right. So anyways, in that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, do you remember those days when you used to think that way? Do you remember when you used to think you cannot keep something alive and that other people have it better than you, or other people can keep their flowers alive but not you? And then it hit me that it's all up to me to keep those flowers alive. Yeah. And it's the hours and the excruciating pain for my back and my hands pruning these flowers and shrubs and whatever every day. And keeping them alive and feeding them. Did you know you have to feed your flowers? You have to prune them. You have to water, but not overwater, so you don't rot the roots. Did you know that you could talk to your flowers? Did you know that you can get different things to make them bloom better? There's so much you could do with flowers, but it all is up to you. So you can prune them a little bit, and you will get a little bit of blooms, or you can prune them a lot, and you can get a lot of blooms. So it's all in the pruning. It's all in the hard work. And that just hit me like crazy. And I was just like, wow. It's not a magical nursery out there. It is not a magical place. It is all up to me to get the results I want. And it just reminded me in life, how often do we do that? How often do we just like sit there and say, they must be lucky. They must be blessed. They must have a hand up, or they... whatever, yeah. Or they must not do anything. You just sit there and chill and things just happen and appear. That's not true. It is all in the hard work. It's all in the pruning. It is all in the little details and the work that is behind the scenes that nobody sees. Nobody sees me pruning. Do you ever see me pruning?
I'm not paying attention to your pruning habits.
But that's what I'm saying. But then when you look at the flowers, you look at them, you're like, whoa, they're blooming. They're beautiful.
But what you're saying is just so accurate and so appropriate, because how often do we look at someone else's life and say, I want that. I wish I had that. Why can't I be that way? How did they get so lucky? How did this happen? Why can't I, oh God, why can't you do for me? Or I'm a good person, or I'm this, or I'm that. And we go and we think that the grass is greener.
But our
grass is already green.
Mm-hmm.
We need to work on it.
You're talking about it.
See, you're talking about flowers. I talk about the grass. Get the sprinkler system going. Get the little seeds out. Our lives are there in God's hands. And if we do the work, if we put in those long hours, that hard work, we will see the results of our effort. We will be rewarded. We can't look always on the outside and say, hey, how they didn't do anything and they were so blessed. We don't know what someone else invested.
No.
And here's another thing is sometimes we feel like we can't applaud their success because we get jealous of someone else's.
Right.
Applaud someone else's success so they can applaud yours.
Yep.
But if we open our minds to putting in the hard work, it'll be rewarded. I want to bring up a verse, John 15:2-6, that talks about pruning.
And
it says, he cares for the branches connected to me by lifting up and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live in your life intimately joined to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me, as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. If we're living our life too often concerned with what someone else is doing.
Right.
And not in union, not in one. Our foundation isn't in Christ. We're going to go off track. Our flowers are going to die. Our grass is going to die. Our flowers are going to wilt, and all of that stuff is going to happen.
Right. That right there is the magic ingredient that we need to be pruned and to blossom and to do God's will for our lives. And it's going to work. That's it, right? That's the recipe.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. And I can't wait to check out the flowers over the course of the next 2 weeks and the next 3 weeks.
They look gorgeous.
Right now, they are blooming. They are beautiful. They are thriving. Yep. Your black thumb has turned into a green thumb.
Yeah.
You're doing a phenomenal job. Thanks. Phenomenal job. And I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of you for that you've done. Up next, you're going to hear from Devin Still. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission. I'm Rob Mahdi with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time on radio or on an app, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests, so you can listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you also tell a friend about us, and also follow us on all our social media platforms. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website: International Justice Mission, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater to fit your specific needs on radio, in your local market, or nationally on all the stations that we're on. There's so much we can do with you through social media, through our podcast, and much more if you partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow our ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. We're getting there. And if you don't have a business to advertise on, but you just want to help our ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. You can also help our ministry by purchasing some of our merch through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, hats, hoodies, sweatshirts, mugs, really cool stuff. So check it out. You can also find out about it on our site, faithonafieldshow.com, under merch. Our guest this week, Devin Still, played defensive tackle 5 seasons in the NFL with the Bengals and Texans. He's become an author. He and his wife, Asha, they host a podcast on marriage and relationships. Devin's young daughter, Leah, battled and overcame cancer during his time with the Bengals. We sat down and chatted about all of it, including he's got a great story about going to the draft in New York, thinking he'll be a first-round pick, getting passed over, not wanting to go back. Here's my conversation with Devin Still on Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission.
Devin, it's been a few years since you played for the Bengals and Texans. What's life after the NFL been like for you? I know for some guys it's a tough transition, but man, I see you've written a book. You got your master's degree. Looks like you've done pretty well.
Yeah. It was tough walking away from football. I've been playing football since I was 13 years old, and honestly, it's what I saw my purpose in, is what I saw my value in, is what I could do on the football field. And when I decided to walk away in 2017, it was a struggle, but I had a great support system with my wife and my family, and I had an understanding of what I wanted to do off the field, which is continue to impact the childhood cancer community with running our foundation, the Still Strong Foundation. I speak all over the world about resiliency and overcoming adversity. And me and my wife actually have a podcast about relationships where we basically share our experiences through our marriage, you know, the ups and the downs, and we try to help people along their journey of marriage and relationships.
I want to ask you about how closely you watch the NFL. Do you still pay attention? Are you in tune? Are you following the teams, or how, you know, have you tuned in?
So let's have a real moment. When I walked away from football, it was hard. to watch the game. Because a lot of times when you walk away from football, it's not when you really want to. So it's like I tell people this all the time. It's like breaking up with a girlfriend and you're constantly checking on her Instagram to see what's going on. It's hard to do. So I didn't really watch football a lot when I walked away from football because I really needed time to grieve what I once had in my life. And I'm coming to a place now where I'm more comfortable watching the sport now that I've really found my purpose outside of football.
When you were at Penn State and you blew out your knee and then your leg and back-to-back years, right? And your NFL dream might be on hold. It might not develop. It might not happen. What was going through your mind then? How tough of a journey was that and the obstacles that you had to overcome?
It was a struggle. It was one of the hardest struggles I've ever been through. Like you said, getting injured back-to-back years, and then I'm seeing all my teammates live out their dream. They have a chance to go out there and play in front of 110,000 fans in Beaver Stadium. It hurt knowing that I wasn't able to be out there with my team, and hurt, you know, having the thoughts that my childhood dream of making it to the NFL wasn't going to come to fruition. But I had to find a purpose that was bigger than my pain. There were often times where I wanted to give up and just walk away from football, walk away from Penn State. But I just told myself that I was going to do everything I could to get back out on the field. And when I got on the field, I was going to make the most of my opportunity. And that's exactly what I did, because my senior year, I became an All-American Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year and was drafted 53rd overall. So just being able to switch that mindset and, you know, get myself into a place where I knew if I just got the opportunity, I was going to make the most of it. It helped save my NFL dream.
What was that moment like when you heard your name called, when you were drafted 53rd overall, second round?
All right, so we're going to have another honest moment. So I was projected to go in the first round. So I got invited to New York. And, you know, as a child growing up, being able to watch people walk across the stage when they got their name called and give Roger Goodell that big hug is something I always envisioned for myself. So when I accepted the invitation to New York, that's all I thought about. And the first day went by, I'm seeing everybody get their name called, their life's changed, they're excited, their family's excited, and the first day ends, my name doesn't get called, and it completely crushed me. I remember going back to the hotel, and I'm just crying. I'm throwing pillows in my hotel room, and I'm just frustrated. I thought about not going back for day two. People around me, like different agents, was telling me that I wasn't going to get drafted in the second round either, and I just saw my dreams crumbling. But my dad talked me into going back the second day, and I'm glad he did, because my name did get called, and I was able to walk across that stage and give Roger that big old hug that I used to always see players give him. So just being able to embrace that moment and it being able to experience that was a blessing.
How is your daughter doing, man?
She's doing really good. This past March, she just turned 6 years cancer-free. So she's just enjoying her life now, being out of the hospital, not having to worry about getting chemo and things of that nature.
I remember when she was diagnosed and there was an outpouring of support from the NFL community. What did that make you feel to have that support?
It meant the world to me because I was going through a time in my life where I was at rock bottom and I couldn't do anything for the Bengals. And the way that they were able to step up for me and my family and let me know that I didn't have to put football first, that I could put my family first and I could be there for my daughter, it meant the world. And just to have not only the sports world, but people all over the country who knew nothing about football, knew nothing about sports, reach out to us and let us know that we wasn't going to have to go through this alone, that they was going to be there every step of the way, not just for us, but for the fight against childhood cancer overall, I think was extremely important in helping us get over that hump in our life.
Man, I know your faith journey was tested at that time with your daughter. Like, I can't even imagine having to go through that. And how was it tested, and how did it help you throughout the whole process?
Yeah, so what a lot of people don't know is coming out during my second year in the NFL, I was battling a lot of injuries. I had dislocated my elbow against the Lions. I was out for 5 weeks. When I made it back, I blew out my back against the Steelers. Had to get season-ending back surgery. A week after that, I ended up getting rushed to the hospital because I had multiple blood clots in my lungs where I almost died. And there was just a lot of crazy stuff going on in my life. And my wife had, you know, brought up to me that maybe we should get back to church and try to create a relationship with God, because I was going through a lot of darkness in my life. And, you know, darkness is not actually a thing, but it's an absence of light. So we went back to church to, you know, take on our faith journey together to try to bring some light into our life. We ended up getting baptized together. And, you know, when you're not really educated on the word, you think that once you get baptized, like everything in your life is going to go great. But I remember when we came up out of the water, the pastor said that this is when the enemy tries to attack you most. And those are the words I held on to, because 2 months later is when we got that diagnosis of Leah having cancer. And it was a struggle. Now that I just had this newfound faith, I didn't really know how to take it, because I'm like, God, I just gave my life to you. And then now there's a chance that my daughter's life may be taken. But I realized soon after that Leah had stage 4 cancer, which means she had it for a long time without us knowing. And maybe this wasn't, you know, God allowing this to happen to Leah, but he was revealing of what was going on in her life so that we had a chance to save her. And that's just the approach we took to it. And then I just saw him use us as a vessel to really make an impact on this world, because I saw the change that was happening, not only in the NFL, but in the world as a whole, and how it just brought people from all different backgrounds together. And it really showed how much positivity and how much love is still out there in this world, despite some of the things we may see in the news.
That is a powerful, powerful testimony. And I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you so much, guys. Wish you a ton of blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That was Devin Still. Thank you to Devin for joining us this week. Thank you to Doug, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone at Team FOTF. And thank you for listening to Faith on the Field show presented by International Justice Mission. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. 1 in 4 are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Caron University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Caron prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at caron.edu.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have 2 daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266. Hey, this is Rob Motti. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast version of Faith on a Field show presented by International Justice Mission. You can now listen to the show on 7 radio stations across the country. Saturdays, we're on 7 a.m. on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. 9 a.m. on Real Sports, 1100 AM Atlanta. 10 a.m. on 107.5 Alive FM, Allentown, Reading, and Lancaster, PA. Sundays, we're on 5 a.m. on our home station, 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia. 7:30 a.m. in Los Angeles on Angel Eagles Radio, ESPN, 8:30 a.m. 8:30 a.m. in Orlando on the Game, 96.9 FM, 7:40 a.m. in iHeart Radio, and 10 a.m. on the Game, ESPN Charlotte, 7:30 a.m., 97.5 FM. Our vision is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you'd like to help us grow our ministry and reach our goal, check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com, and find out how you or your business can be a sponsor, partner, or simply make a donation. Or you can reach out to one of us. God bless you all.